Hello, I'm Brian Foster, and today we're talking about Spiritism. And today we're going through the rest of Chapter 13 of the book Through the Mist, Two Illustrations. Before I begin, let's have a short prayer. Dear Jesus, please help the Earth rise to a planet of regeneration from a planet of atonement. Please help us raise our vibrational and harmonial structure so we may have peace on Earth, less inequality, less hate, less injustice, and more constructive environment for peace and love. And help us all rise spiritually so we can meet together to raise this earth up a level. Amen. So we are talking about Through the Mist, Chapter 13. Now, remember, Through the Mist was a book psychographed to a medium, J. Lees, in the early 19th century. And in it, a spirit who wished to remain anonymous, although some people in the book called him Fred, so I think his first name was Fred. This is his first days in heaven. So what we've done in chapter 13 is he went to a kind of a convalescent place for people who are newly arrived from Earth. And he went and he saw this great healer. And then they went to this great healer's house, in more of a mansion, more of a place for advanced spirits to come and rest when they pass over. And he followed a woman who was so tied to another person. They followed her to Earth. And in chapter 13, they went to her house and found that she was still tied to her sister. And her sister was grieving for her and could not control herself, which I have told people many times, please try to control yourself. Be happy for someone who's passed over. They're in a much better position. They're out of the earth. They're in heaven. They're learning. Wish them well. But now he says, okay, now we've seen her. Now I'm going to show you a better place. So this is where chapter 13, the middle part, starts. Now, before I begin, if you would like to learn more about Spiritism, please go to my site, nwspiritism.com, and download my free PDF, Spiritism 101, The Third Revelation. It is also available in French for free. And if you do not want it in PDF form, you can get it in Kindle for 99 cents, Audible format, or in paperback format. Let's begin. So I will start. Now, said my companion, I will give you a glimpse of a brighter side of our work, and where you'll see a cause for hope. And all those results obtained, which you look for between Lizzie and her sister. And Lizzie is the one that was drawn back to Earth because her sister was just so distraught. And actually, they tried to communicate to her sister. Said, yeah, I'm here. I'm alive. And her sister was happy. But then she came back to her family and they all said, you're crazy, right? Which just happens. So I'll carry on. My thanks, it's scarcely time for expression before we entered a room almost as tangible as ourselves. This fact considerably perplexed me at the time, but I afterwards discovered it to be due to the spirituality of the man who used it as a study. The house was one of those modest artisan dwellings by which abound in the southern outskirts of London, constructed for occupation by two families, and the particular room was the one designed for a kitchen on the upper story. The plate rack served for the shelves of a very modest library. While the furniture consisted of an armchair, couch, and table, which sat at a man who had scarcely yet reached the prime of his life, evidently deeply interested in a book. Krishna, which is the spirit who has been leading him, bade me watch the different effect of his speaking to that which accompanied Lizzie's first words to her sister. James, he said in a voice scarcely above a whisper. So Krishna is trying to communicate through James's pineal gland that he is a spirit and he's here. Instantly, the reader raised his head, looked at us with a smile of welcome, and answered, oh, Krishna, is that you? Yes, are you busy? Not if you want me, was the reply. I wish to show this brother how easily we can speak with you, so I would like you to write a message for us. The book was laid aside. Paper and pen were at hand in a moment, and he was waiting to begin. In the delight of this new revelation, everything else was, for the moment, crowded out of my mind. All was so very natural that I almost forgot I had passed into the world of spirit. There was not even a shadow between the two states now. There were not two any longer, but only two aspects of one. Perhaps you would like to give the message, Krishna suggested. I would, but this disclosure completely drowns my powers, I replied. Then I will. Let me see. What shall I say? This is a good opportunity for one of your impromptus, said the waiting scribe. Very well, then, said Krishna. You may call it the passage of death. O brethren of earth, where the soul has its birth, at the thought of the Jordan who quiver, when I fell asleep, I found that the deep was the wave of a cloud, not a river. Men say that the tomb lies hidden in gloom, whence demons and devils forth sally. I came through the place in running my race. And there, I tell you, there is not a valley. They say, as a guard, at a gate that is barred, an angel is standing in state. I passed o'er the ground, but no obstacle found. So I tell you, there is not a gate. No gate where men quail, no dark lowering veil, no river your course to resist. I felt but one chill, then a hush, all was still, as I stood on the slopes through the mist. And that's exactly how Fred showed up. He had died pretty recently, and he was in London at the end of the 19th century. And there's this little kind of street urchin boy in the middle of the road. And of course, this was time of horse and carriages. And he was like going to be run over by a carriage. And then so he rushed out to try to save the boy. And the next thing he knew, he was on the slope, kind of seeing this mist down below, kind of like an arena of grass, and with the boy in his arms, and they were in heaven. And of course, they never felt pain or anything. Shows you what heaven can do for those who deserve a good death. We can all hope for that. Just as Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. That's what they did. They took him, put him on that grassy knoll, and let him wake up naturally. Okay, I'll carry on. There is no slip, doubt, or uncertainty from the beginning of the end of the message. No wonder or amazement expressed on the part of the amanuensis, who wrote as calmly as a clerk receiving letters by dictation from his employer. I realized in those few minutes that if no other link existed in all the earth, that one was quite sufficient to hold the two estates of life in an indissoluble bond of union, and capable of being strengthened until all the errors of the flesh should be corrected. And the last rebellious child of earth had answered to his father's invitation, come. The writing finished, it was read over, then placed aside to be added to a volume of such messages, which from time to time were being received from members of the large band of spirits at whose disposal that truly inspired teacher placed his services. This accomplished, he asked, can I do anything more for you? Not for the present. Shall you see Zangi soon? I can send to him if you need anything. You may tell him that Almer is not very well, and I should be glad if he will look at him. What is wrong? Oh, nothing much, but it gives him an excuse to ask for Zangi. Tell the child that I'll let him know at once. God bless you. I was informed that to such an extent had communication been open with this family that several of the children could converse with us almost as readily as the father. Yet there is nothing to distinguish them from the ordinary run of mankind. The privilege was a sacred one, which entailed a great responsibility, so it was never paraded before the vulgar crowd to gratify a morbid curiosity. And again, this is a great lesson of mediumship. And this is what you'll see, especially with more advanced mediums. So this medium was advanced spiritually to talk to a high spirit whose name is Krishna. If he was just a medium who, you know, charged for his services, he would not attract a spirit such as Krishna, because as spiritism tells us, the level of a medium attracts the same level as the spirit. That's why it's so hard. It's so important, I should say, when you're a medium, if you want to attract the higher spirits, that you study and read, study spiritism, meditate, lift your own spirituality, become spiritually mature. Because if you still have, like thoughts that are, like you are looking for revenge or anger or any of the basis emotions, you will not attract good spirits, and you will not be in the right mood to readily receive messages. Now, let's not say there's lots of mediums out there, I'm sure, who talk to lower spirits and learn quite a lot. But higher spirits will give you more uplifting messages, and they'll give you truth of the spirit world. And that's where spiritism, I think, really shines, is they get these more a complete explanations of the true state of the spirit world, the spirit universe, from spirits who know what they're talking about, versus mediums that get so excited they're talking to anybody, don't take the time to make sure what level they are at, and will report anything that is said. Because in spiritist mediumship, when they train spiritists to become mediums, they train for a year, maybe 2 years. They first read about spiritism, they understand about spiritism, and then they're with other mediums to make sure they understand how to communicate with spirits. Because spirits, most spirits are spirits on the earth, right? There are more people on the earth and below than there are in heaven. Since, as Chico Xavier said, only about 30% of the people actually go into heaven. Now that will rise as we become more and more spiritually mature, and our planet begins the step up to become a planet of regeneration from a planet of atonement where we are now. A planet of atonement is where we pay for our past wrongs. So let me carry on. Comparatively few were made acquainted with astounding facts, and fewer still were they who were permitted to be present when any such interview was held. In the presence of this family, and some of our friends had been able to assume a solid body, as the angels did of old, administered to medical and other requirements. The attachments of this little fellow, only 8 years old, for Zangi, arose from the gratitude for the instantaneous replacement of a dislocated ankle, which the doctor had said would be weeks before he would be able to use it. Kushnin, I cried in amazement, will there ever be an end to the surprises you are unfolding to me? While you speak of this, the whole thing was as natural as passing from one street to another. It is even more so, he replied, when we have the necessary basis of love to work upon and a waiting mind to answer when we speak. The man who hears us will be heard by us and be responded to when he calls. This was the secret of the old-time prophet's inspiration. In this incident, you have witnessed nothing new, but have simply been made aware that the old methods and advantages have not been changed or ended. I know it is strange and surprising, but this is because mankind has erred and strayed from the truth. Having sold their birthright of open communication for a mess of ecclesiastical pottage, not because God has changed or a system of government in any way altered, but the days of error in this respect are numbered. This channel of communication is but one out of thousands which have now been opened and are being used constantly by us to ring out the false and ring in the true. And this is a message that completely corresponds with Spiritism. Now, as a review, Spiritism was codified by Allan Kardec in the 1850s. And in it, Allan Kardec created a series of 1,019 questions he asked of spirits, of the spirit world, about reincarnation, about all sorts of wonderful questions that you or I would love to ask spirits. Now, this whole organization was foreshadowed by Jesus Christ in the New Testament when he said, I will send you a consoler. In fact, let me show you that. So we place this in the right thing. So spiritism is what spirits call the third revelation. The first revelation was Moses. The second revelation was Jesus Christ. And the third revelation is Spiritism. And that was started and foreshadowed, as I said, in the New Testament, John chapter 14, verses 15 to 17. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another consoler to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth was the Spirit who organized all the other spirits, talking to multiple mediums throughout the vicinity of Paris and throughout Europe. And what they did is Allan Kardec gave the different mediums the same question, and he did not codify the answers unless the answers were the same or similar. So that is how Spiritism was brought. And that's why Spiritism brings us the true information of heaven. Now, and Spiritism says there's many great things. Remember, all these religions, from Jesus Christ, who was the leader of our planet, the governor of our planet, our father, and Jesus Christ sent his messengers, Socrates, Lao Tzu, Buddha, Zoroaster, John the Baptist to earth to give us messages and to try and raise up our spiritual maturity. And then spirits tell us that the messages were given to us to conform to each culture and the level of technology at the time. That's why there's small differences between many religions, and many religions have changed because of the influences of culture by them. But nevertheless, they were sent by the same messenger. That's why there's a great number of intersection and similarities between different important religions on the earth. Okay. So that's why this is important. So then the next thing I want to say about mediumship is Spiritism has told us that Jesus Christ has decided to, as we said, this is happening everywhere. More and more people are becoming mediums, because he said his system of government in any way alter, but the days of error in this respect are numbered. This channel of communication is but one of thousands, which have now been opened. So what Spiritism tells us is the spirit world and the leadership of Christ have usually used the priestly class in order to communicate to people. But what's happened is the priestly class has become corrupted, and they use the messages, and they kind of eke out the messages, and they make sure that they themselves are enriched by sending messages, where now they're using many people who are not a member of any religion or doctrine to send out more and more messages. And also now we're really using is that we have spiritist mediums such as Divaldo Franco, Chico Xavier, to communicate what is actually happening. Okay, here I have a question here. Do you perhaps know what was Kardec's first contact with the spirit world? How did it happen? So for those who have Netflix, there is a movie called Kardec, K-A-R-D-E-C. And it's a great movie, and it really shows Kardec's first contact with the spirit world and how it happened. But what it happens in the 1850s, there was a kind of a parlor game where people would have seances, and then spirits would rap on the table, and that became very popular. And Kardec was invited to one of these seances. And Kardec was a scientist. He was a teacher, and he was very skeptical. And he thought, this is fake. And then also they found out that if they could put a pin in a basket, the pin would write something. And also medium started psychographing, meaning that a spirit would talk to them and they would write what the spirit said, which is how a lot of these books by Chico Xavier, Yvonne Piera, others have been written. So there was these two sisters, and he went to the family, and he noticed, and a lot of times those were pretty frivolous affairs, right? But they noticed when Kardec went, things got serious. And then Kardec, a message was given to him, and he said, look, you're here for a reason. You have a mission. And he says, okay, I got to find out about this. This is strange. So he sat down, very organized, right? And wrote a series of 1,019 questions, and said, okay, I'm going to scientifically go through this, talk to multiple mediums in multiple geographic locations. So that's his first contact with these two sisters in this family. And you'll see that in the movie of called Kardec on Netflix, if you have Netflix. If not, you can just type in Alan Kardec space PDF, and you can find all of his major books on PDF. Okay, let me carry on. And then Fred said, no one needs to be told that the creed and reason are at variance. It was this that kept me outside the church all my life. Now, the protagonist of this story, which is Fred, and you know, he's the one that, you know, is telling the story to this medium. He was always a very religious person, in fact, but he didn't, his father was very strict, and Fred, he was very religious. He loved God. He loved Jesus. And so he, instead of going to church, he kept talking to church. He did go to church too, but he wasn't really completely involved in it as his father and family were. He would go to the slums of London and help people. This is why he went to heaven right away. And he's being led and being showed, hey, this is how it is. And that's why he was so excited when he got to heaven. He goes, I want to tell everyone what's going on. This is not what I was told, right? And again, this is why spiritism is so revealing, because you're told things that you know, which have been fuzzy before. The Catholic and other you know, Christian ideas of heaven, or ideas like Buddha, which is, you know, kind of a this nirvana, they're all interesting, but they're all kind of vague, whereas spiritism tells us, okay, you want to know what heaven is? We're going to tell you. Now, not that we're told everything. I still say this is like looking through a keyhole, but they're telling us a lot. They're telling us that we are still who we are when we pass over. We don't lose our personality or character. I mean, even if for some reason you have a brain injury and you're rendered completely disabled, when you die, you're back to where your spirit is. You haven't lost anything. That was just your physical brain. That always worried me. I don't know about other people, but to me, that always worried me, like, oh, what's going to happen? So this is where it tells us so much. It tells us who the spirit is, that we are immortal, that we reincarnate time after time in order to improve. And in fact, the reason we need to improve is because thought is action in the spirit world. And we are here on earth to learn to control our thoughts, to take out the primitive emotions, hate, anger, jealousy, and replace them with love, fraternity, and charity. Okay. Let me carry on. And this is what our Fred says. One of the most flagrant illustrations of this is to be found in the position the church has almost universally assumed in the matter of spirit communion. It is taught as an article of the faith that evil spirits possess and exercise the power of communicating with man. They can appear to converse and enter into compact with and even take possession of the bodies of those who are in affinity with themselves. But holy men and women who have passed from earth have no such powers or privileges afforded them. The permission for intercourse in their case having been withdrawn long ago because the mission of such had been fulfilled. Directly, you bring your reason to bear upon such a doctrine, you explode it, saying that this is not true. And this was put in order to discourage other people. This was put in by, let's say, just the Catholic religion. After, because in the early years of the Catholic Church, many people talked to spirits. That's what spiritism says. There was communion with spirits. They knew about reincarnation. But as it got more formal and there were priests, they said, oh, no, you can't talk to them. Only we can, right? The corruption started. Anything with humans, corruptions always start, because there's not perfect humans here. Without saying anything about the changeless character of God, which must be ever born in mind, it makes him to be arbitrary and unjust in the most cruel sense, in granting to his enemies advantages which he withholds from his friends. It gives enormous faculties for temptation of the powers of darkness, but denies the same liberty of action to the ministering spirits attendant upon the children of light. It opens wider avenues in the road to destruction, while closes up one of the brightest paths which lead to life. Yet all the while they say, God is no respecter of persons, that he willeth not the death of a sinner, that he will save to the utmost all who come to him. But they're not able to see that their theology places a great stumbling block in the way of all who try to come. But Is it a fact, I asked, that evil spirits have equal faculties for communication as the good ones? This is an important one. If you remember two very simple truths, he replied, they will aid you to solve many otherwise mysterious problems. First, there is no bondage of force in any condition of our life. You've already seen illustrations of this. Every soul is free to make its own choice, but they naturally choose that which is most congenial. And again, this is why, if you want to become a medium, it's important to read Allan Kardec's The Book of Mediums. They talk about the different ways of obsession, the different levels of spirits, how to keep talking to a spirit and understand the level they are at. And what Kushner is saying to Fred is that, look, people who are obsessed, and not always, right, but people who want to familiarize themselves with a lower spirit is because they are at that level. Remember, as I said before, the level of the person naturally connects to the level of spirit. They attract that same level. That's why it's important to recognize yourself. Now, some people can be obsessed because people want revenge for past wrongs, and they're not communicating, but they're just trying to fill their minds with really wrong things and trying to distract them and destroy them. And that's a whole nother conversation to have. So on Earth, the metals are the natural habitation of the sheep, the waters of fishes, and the air of birds. It is not necessary, nor is it attempted to place any restrictions to prevent any one of them from trespassing on the domain of the other. It is quite sufficient that they are not constitutionally fitted for it. So it is with us. A sinner can no more dwell in the region of the saint than a sheep can soar upwards in company with the eagle. The second point for you to remember is the power of sympathy. This is almost omnipotent. And we call this, and Spiritism calls this, the power of affinity. And this power of affinity works on so many levels. And then he just says, as you have seen in the case of Lizzie, so it is all through creation. Like attracts like. And that power is when we pass over to the spirit world, we go with others like us. If we are a pickpocket and we have just constant desires of materialistic desires, we're down with those people. If we're like trying to be somewhat open-minded, tolerant, and loving, a generally good person, you have to be a saint, you go into some level of heaven to be with people like you. This is why when you go to heaven, you are with people who are in affinity with you. This is why you have your best friends there, your colleagues that you work with. This is not like the earth where you live in a city or you go to a school or work and you have a complete range of people. Some who are the nicest people and you tell them anything and they'll help you at work, and some who will stab you in the back. That's not the way it is in heaven. Heaven, as Jesus said, is a narrow door, right? A narrow gate. And that's not narrow because there's a physical gate or door there. It's narrow because it's the law of affinity. In the absence, then, of any deterrent force, which this attraction of sympathy has been established, whether it be of a holy or unholy nature, the souls naturally gravitate towards each other. But no soul from our size is ignorant of the fact that it is individually responsible for whatever results therefrom. With the present erroneous ideas which exist, it is not surprising that the lower and ignorant spirits find the greater attraction to earth. Then you regard the present state of communication with earth as being a somewhat deplorable one, asked Fred. And he was answered, not by any means. The present time on earth is characterized by a great thirst for knowledge. There is an earnest spirit of inquiry after truth. In the human soul, there has always been a natural craving to rend the veil which hides immortality from view, a craving born of the inspiration which forebodes success. Daring souls, regardless of the anathemas of the church, have pushed the inquiry forward until the veil has given way and the light is streaming out. But inquirers, while breaking free from errors in one direction, are generally found to hold with even greater tenacity to others which lie in another direction. So the attraction they form is not with spirits whom the truth has made entirely free, but lower minds who stand in close affinity with their own desires. A word of caution I must give you here. That is how very necessary it is to draw a distinction between those whom I have termed the lower friends on our side and the lowest. We are not yet, at all events, divided into classes, good and evil. But the method of division that I pointed out naturally suggests an almost innumerable grades of conditions through which it would be quite impossible to draw a dividing line. And this is why Alan Kardec's books are so important. He gives you like basic classes of spirits, basic classes of low spirits, basic classes of higher spirits. And he says these are just broad categories. And as spirits who talk to the Reverend G. Vowen, talking about the different levels of heaven, some people say three, some people say seven. The spirits talking to Reverend G. Vowen said 10. He goes, hey, there's people break these up into different classes. There's many graduations, but we're just going to give you a rough idea. So heaven itself isn't composed of one area of clouds, right? And you play harp all the time. No, heaven consists of graduations of levels too that you go depending on your spiritual maturity. And as you go higher and higher in heaven, you have more and more power to use. And that is the power of your brain to create and conform the environment and to create objects, palaces, mountains, rivers, cities that you want. Now, you'll usually do that in relationship to being given tasks and with other people. You won't just, you know, some spiritualists will say, well, you create your own heaven. Well, there's truth to that because your mind can alter your environment, but you really is, you're that would imply that you are completely alone in heaven. You're not. You, by the law of affinity, go to the level you should be, and then you are affected by the thoughts all around you, and you become absorbed, and you take those thoughts, so you see the same type of environment and houses and people. Now, as you go higher and higher, you certainly are able to make what you want. You know, Jesus was absolutely correct. Faith can move mountains. And faith is measurable in the spirit world. And in the spirit world, I've read things where spirits have had a city and then just said, oh, this city needs to be bigger. And they put everybody into this big room and said, oh, wait here for a while. And then they expanded the city and created new buildings and new parks. Said, okay, you can come out. You're up in another level. You're a bigger city. I mean, because thought is action. You live in this matrix that is data driven. And as a spirit, the higher and higher you go, the more your set of permissions are that you can modify the data around you at will. I mean, there's no fantasy books that are as fantastical as the truth in heaven. And this is why you're going through these trials and tribulations. This is why bad things happen to you. Because what they're trying to do is say, okay, we got to rip these primitive emotions out. We're trying to get you ready to be this omnipotent power that you create these things. But we're not going to let you create things from your mind if your mind is still immature and you're jealous and you hate and you want to destroy things because you're mad. No, it's not going to happen. You have to be loving and kind. And wise. And you'll be trained. You'll go to colleges. You'll graduate from a level to the next. You won't just get a piece of paper. You'll get more power, more ability. And it's not a time limit. They wait till you're ready. They know what they're doing. They are impossibly smart. We are not even close to what they are. Okay. Okay, yes. But the method of division, I point out, naturally suggests almost innumerable grades of conditions through which it would be quite impossible to draw a dividing line. Now, the classes of souls attracted by these inquirers are spiritually in affinity with themselves, but by reason of their life with us, they can teach many truths, which will prepare the way for higher and more powerful ministers to follow them. The present outlook, therefore, is not at all a cheerless one, but on the contrary, full of hope and promise. And again, this is like lower spirits who will sometimes talk to mediums. They'll kind of give they'll try and tell you what is going on in the spirit world, but they will be somewhat wrong. And so the higher and the higher spirit will give you more of the truth. And that's what you have to, that's why spiritist mediums go through training, because you have to discern the level of that person so you know how much credence to give what they're telling you. And just, you know, and just as a caution, if you ever are trying to communicate with through a medium of the spirit, and as you can read what we have, because we just finished chapter 13, two illustrations, and next Tuesday we'll do chapter 14, which is the last chapter in this book, which is, you know, kind of sad because these are great books. But when you talk to a spirit, as I've been given messages, I'm not a medium, but I've been sitting around the table, and I've been the wall behind the table, behind the chairs at the table. And spirits, you know, will give you practical suggestions, and they'll give you advice, and they'll point in the direction you need to go. They're not going to tell you how what your Uncle Bob buried gold in the backyard, or how you can make someone love you, or how to get revenge on someone. That's the lower spirits that do that. They're going to give you things to meditate. They're going to give you things to work on, advice to work on. They're going to give you constructive advice, and they will not flatter you, a lot. They may say some good things about you, but they're not going to overly flatter you at all. So if that happens, be very suspectful that this is a spirit that is trying to set you up to manipulate you in some way. And of course, a lot of times is spirits will use names, right? We had at our house, we had a medium come, and he was a medium from one of the Cambalay, which is kind of a lower, they talk to lower spirits. And he said, well, can we pray around the table? I said, we said, okay. And then the spirit came and says, I am so-and-so. And then, you know, he started giving us the message from the spirit. And afterwards, my wife and I go, no, first of all, that's not him. That's not him. And as the spirit, he kept repeating the same thing over and over again. It was just like some platitudes that didn't mean anything. And we said, no, this spirit came into our house and tried to fool us. And so we never invited him back again. So anyway, here's a message here. This is Kardec was not a medium, correct? He had not had direct contact with spirits. He encoded questions and answers made by spirits in his spirit's book. And I think you mean encoded questions that were going to be asked by spirits, asked by the mediums to the spirits, because Kardec, I think, is the one that actually encoded the questions. But yes, I mean, it's directionally correct. And that's why if you have Netflix, it'd be a great thing to have. Let me bring up the spirits book. And to me, when I tried to discover what was going on with my life through what had happened to me, this was my great discovery, is the spirits book. Now, everyone reads and reads books and discovers differently, but quite a few people talk to you, it's like when you first read the spirit's book, it's like, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. This explains everything. It explains why some people who seem like the nicest people in the world have terrible things happen to them. Is God just? And the answer is, of course, God is always just. Those people were paying for things they did in past lives. It's certainly not apparent to you, your physical self, but if you stood up on the 10,000 foot level and you saw over multiple lives, it would be, this person needed to learn this lesson. And many times this person who went through this tragedy or episode asked for that episode themselves so they would learn that lesson, because they want to go through and have that stimuli at them so they deep, they dive deep into their personality and character, and they rip out those primitive emotions, and you learn to be more loving and kind. So those are things that happen. I'll give myself as an example. I've been told in mediums meetings that I've been in positions of power, and I have used people to get money from them instead of helping them. In this life, I have been through areas, times in my life where I, you know, seemingly got through a company was bought or something like that. You know, decent pots of money for me, I'm sure for other people not much, but for me it was a lot, and I lost them all the time. I didn't do it through gambling or drugs or any of that. I did made what I thought were good investments, but they weren't. That devastated me. Now, what I know now is after I was told this is that now I know how it feels to have money taken from you, right? And it doesn't feel good. Before I became a spiritualist, I hit myself, how can I be so stupid? I thought I was being conservative, but I guess I wasn't. But now I know how it feels, and now I understand, okay, good. I'm just lucky the spirit world let me live a middle-class life, right? I mean, that's probably more than I deserved. So that's why I think is the spirit's book is just a revelation, and I would recommend it to anyone. Now, for those who want to know more about the spirit world, what I've done is I've read many spiritist authors, spiritist mediums from Kardec, the books by Kardec, even before Kardec, Emanuel Swedenborg, Leon Denis, Yvonne Piera, just many. Chico Xavier wrote many, many books, 450 books while he was alive, almost 500 now after his death. And Divaldo Franco, who's still alive, still writing. And I try to come and give people, like, this is what the spirit realm is of what I know so far. And this is how you may want to look at it, how you may want to look at your life. This is the physical realm. This is what Jesus is. This is what heaven and lower zone, this is what a spirit is. And it should give you knowledge so that you can, for yourself, you can understand how you want to work, study, change your character or not. I mean, this is what spiritism, the philosophy of spiritism is, we give you knowledge and put it on the table. You can pick it up or not, right? There's no such thing as eternal damnation, because you're going to have another life. You can learn again another life. It's just if you want to learn this, this should help your journey to become a pure spirit to speed that up. I did it out of order here. There is a throne of God described in the book of Revelation. There are four creatures around, quote, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I guess that would be the highest place to be near God. Now that was the book of Revelation. Now, what we have been told by, by Emmanuel in the book On the Way to the Light, which I would recommend. On the Way to the Light is a great book. This was John's best interpretation of what he saw. And again, with other prophets, you know, there's other prophets here that are telling us, like Cat Care, and other names, right, that I have seen on YouTube that try to interpret what they've seen in heaven. And it's not easy being a prophet, because it's hard. First of all, time doesn't exist, and you see times and dimensions, and it's hard for the human brain to interpret what you've seen. So what John reported back is what he saw. And by the way, there are some really interesting things is when he saw that from the speaker. He saw this, like, I think he said lightning or flaming sword coming out of his mouth. And when I read in the spiritist literature, is that when someone communicates, when a spirit communicates with another spirit, they can communicate thought to thought, right? I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to say, meet me at the corner of 9th and Main Street. But what they'll do is they'll send out an image, and they'll show you an image of the corner of 9th and Main Street. And when they send out an image, it's like a little piece of lightning comes out of their mouth. And this is what John reported at. So just, yes. And in fact, On the Way to Light tells really about what they meant by 666 and these other things. Very interesting. And there's a lot of truth in that. And he actually interprets what they mean, what 666 means, etc. Now, according to Be Near God, what spirits have told us is that even they in the heavens surrounding the earth do not understand God. We, first of all, one of the first things of Allan Kardec said in the spirits book is, what the spirits told him is, you know, can we understand God? And the spirit said, no, you cannot understand God. You're not, you are not complex, or, you know, smart enough, whatever it is, to understand God. And even the spirits surrounding in the heavens surrounding the earth, there's heavens above the earth, right? As you go higher and higher, you will get closer to God. But even when you die, it's not like, oh, hi, God. No, it's like you notice God in everything. I mean, you can notice God on everything here on this physical earth, but you really notice the effect of God everywhere. But do you understand him? No, you don't. You don't. He says, we don't. Now, I'm sure they have a better understanding than we do, and they're probably being polite, but you're not going to be near God. You might be, you know, somewhat more cognizant of God. But that's what spiritism tells us. But you'll certainly see superior spirits, and you'll certainly see Jesus Christ in different manifestations, who is just, and I talk about that in my book, The Spirit Realm. I also talk about Jesus Christ even in more detail in my book, and my series of three books, which I talk about the spirit world, which is book one, Heaven and Below, book one of Spiritism. I talk about heaven, the lower zone, the dark abyss was like a purgatory, and of Jesus Christ. And then in my second book, I talk about spirits, what you are as a spirit, what your capabilities, how you grow as a spirit, as how you educate yourself as a spirit. And in book three, I talk about how we are guided by spirits, your guardian angel, how they help you on earth and how they can help you. They're with you in the spirit world too. Your guardian angel is with you through, I don't know how long, right? Because you are immortal. And they also, I talk about what the future of the earth will be, because earth will go through different phases of higher and higher planets. Right now, we are a planet of atonement. We're becoming to be a planet of regeneration, which will last around 7,000 years. And after that will be the next level. So these are all things. And there are many planets out there with many human-like life. They're all going through the same processes. Some are higher levels, some are lower levels. We're one of the lower levels. Primitive level, primitive planet is below us. Earth was a primitive planet and it became a planet of atonement. But when we become a planet of regeneration, we will no longer have to suffer through the harsh trials that we had here on Earth. So when people say, I don't want to be reincarnated again, I said, well, live a good life. You'll be reincarnated next time on a planet of regeneration, and you're not going to go through as dramatic trials and episodes. Become a good person, because as karma works, karma and reincarnation are the real processes of what is showed us here. So let me bring this up. The way karma works is, in your previous life, everything's recorded, every detail, all our thoughts, and this was also talked to in other books by Emmanuel, our thoughts radiate out. Everything is recorded and captured, right? If you think you have no privacy with cameras and cell phones on Earth, there's no privacy. Everything, every intimate thought is recorded. So then they look at your life, right? And your life now is the results from your previous life. And then what you're doing now, because your present life is being recorded, will be used to determine your next life. So that's the whole process for incarnation. And when people say, how can I get better if I don't know my past life? And I say, don't worry about that. The spirit world is so sophisticated. They know the correct stimuli to give to you that you'll learn the lessons you need to learn. Just like I was telling you where I found out what it felt like to lose my money. Well, I didn't have to be told at the time that, hey, you know, you were corrupt. Because now that I know, I never want anybody, you know, to lose money because of me, because that made me feel bad. So So you don't need to. But the one thing, if you want to know about your previous life, this is a hint. Examine the trials and tribulations you've gone through in this life. And I talk about actually that in my book, The Problem is the Solution. And I talk about different problems are given to you and probably what happened to you in your past life. And you can pretty well determine the type of person you were and what you did wrong. So it's all there. That's why spiritualism just tells you so much. Anyway, come to the end of the time. Join me. I do live stream every Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday right now at 5 p.m. Eastern, a time in the U.S., of course, all around the world. And again, also come, if you have more questions, come and join me on Monday nights or Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern. Could be whatever time of day it is for people around the world. I have people around the world listening to me. But if you listen to it on the past one, write questions in the comment section. I get notified when I have a comment. I'll add that to my list of questions and I'll try to answer them as I go. God bless everyone.